You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
BJSE has closed its doors for another day, so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow. And as always on Wednesday, the 5 o'clock shadow is populated by Skulk Lowe, portfolio manager at PSG Wealth, Old Oak Division in Cape Town. I was considering, Skulk, cancelling this interview because I knew you would be probably smiling so much that you wouldn't be able to speak properly. And of course, you know what I'm talking about, gold shares. What a lovely day for you.
Oh, that's an understatement. Come on. Anglo Gold up 10.3%. Gold Fields up 21.1%. There's a bit of an extra story there.
Wow.
Harmony up 8.5%. Durban Roodepoort Deep, I mean, that's up 9.12%.
Stop smiling, please, Skulk. I can't see you, but you probably look as though you've got a coat hanger in your mouth. Your smile is that wide.
You're smiling all the way to the bank. Yeah, so that's definitely smiling all the way to the bank.
The reason I called you Wayne earlier on was because I was talking to Wayne McCurry, and he gave me a couple of statistics. He said that Goldfields has, I think, fell from something like 240 to 140 or 220 to 140 or something, and it's currently, well, it was when we were speaking about 175. So it's coming off a low base. It's around about mid-range at the moment. But and also he said that over the last, I don't know, four decades or something, or since the 1970s, the gold share index, as it used to be, and gold shares in general, have underperformed the all share index by something like 90%. So I thought when I was going to cancel this interview, I thought, no, do it, because Skulk only has one or two good days a year when it comes to gold shares.
I'm like that broken clock, Lindsay. I'm only right twice a day. Now you want to sort of diss me on that day. Come on.
No, I really don't. It's fantastic. There's nothing like a good bull market in gold. It doesn't last long, so make the most of it. Now, let's start with the Goldfields story more seriously, because someone has come in for Yamana at a significant premium to the Goldfields offer. Yamana is paying a $300 million US dollar breakout or break fee or whatever it's called, and the share price took off. There was a huge sigh of relief from legions of Goldfields shareholders.
Yeah, so we need to turn the clock back, because this was sort of the morning after the night before, you know, when they originally announced that Yamana deal. We know what the after effect was. I mean, the Goldfields really retraced, had a massive drop in the share price that day. Let me see if I can bring it up. What was that day?
It wasn't well received by the market. The market, while you're looking it up, the market thought, wait a second, okay, it may be a good deposit, it may be a good company, but on the other hand, they're overpaying for this deposit.
Yeah, it dropped from 180 Rand to 153 Rand, on that day. It was the 31st of May. It was a 20% drop, very, very, you know, sort of a inverse movement like we're seeing today. I mean, it's just, so next morning we sat, you know, as a team, and we looked at this as sort of a damn you do, damn you don't. I mean, funny as you knew the analysis, but, you know, that was, for us, it was a great buying opportunity, because shortly after that, they came out, management came out, and they explained why they want to do the acquisition, and it was well perceived for the market, made really, really sense. And so, you know, if the deal went through, you know, at those sort of distress levels, if I can call it that, we were happy, because they're buying a great company. Maybe, you know, the market felt that they were overpaying a little bit, but they were buying a great mine. But we also said that, let's say, for instance, that the deal don't go through. Let's say it fell through for some reason.
Yeah.
You know, there's no reason that the share price should then again increase by that 20% on that same day. And lo and behold, even today, the announcement came through. And yes, they did have a little help from a gold price that sliced through that $1,700 dollar mark. You sort of like a hot knife through butter. But again, I mean, this shows you the market. They tend to be right.
It's funny that these things come together at the same time. You know, you wait for one or two events every now and again with gold. Gold goes up, the rand goes down. Gold is suddenly a safe haven. But you had the corporate activity and the gold price all coming together at the same time and producing this massive rally. I can't ever remember seeing a gold share of the size of Goldfields going up 20% plus in one day. I just can't remember.
Yeah, Lindsay, it's a strange times. I mean, we do see, and I've looked at that year-on-year growth on, you know, in the last time we've seen these type of movement was pretty much a little bit more than 10 years ago. And that was out of the midst of the financial crisis. And that was also the same time where we've had a dollar, or let's call it the dollar index, increasing by you know, more than 20% year on year. And back then, we also knew, oh, wait a minute, you know, is this sustainable? Is something like the dollar? And yes, the gold price became a lot more volatile during those periods. And when it retraced, you know, and I'm speaking about the dollar, we've seen what the gold price can do, a massive movement upward. Now, again, we're sitting now, let's call it 14 years later, 13 years later, 14 years later, we again had a dollar index that increased year on year by more than 20%. And I'm just asking myself, you know, the last time we've seen this, we've been here before. Yeah, maybe it can go up a little bit further. I mean, I don't like to call tops or bottoms. I just know that, you know, a dollar at these type of levels is not sustainable. Mm-hmm. And should it, and I'm not saying it will, but should it retrace, which it's now doing,
yes,
we will see a movement upward. The difference between now and 14 years ago is the mines now currently is extremely healthy. You know, back 14 years ago, they were extremely indebtedness. I mean, they're sitting with massive, massive debt on their balance sheets. They were really not paying any dividends. The free cash flow was sort of iffy. Nowadays, they're extremely healthy. They're producing massive amount of free cash flow. They're actually paying dividends. And, you know, a lot of these mines can actually just literally just say, well, we're not going to pay a dividend this year. And we just wipe all of our debt. So that is the difference. And that's my cards on the table. I'm looking at this as an investment now. I'm not putting all my eggs in one basket. I'm just saying that should the dollar weaken, I'm sitting with something that previously was traded. I mean, you just said it. I mean, gold was always a tradable instrument, or let's call it gold mines is a tradable instrument, something you want to buy when the RSI is low and the 50 day and the 200 day moving average is doing X and the Fibonacci is doing Y. I mean, that's where you were trading gold. No, currently gold mines is healthy companies, you know, profitable, and you know, quite a solid investment to include in your portfolio.
Very good indeed. But I want you to be careful and don't get too carried away, Skulk. I know that you've been in the business for many, many years. I know you're highly respected and very successful and everything. But when it comes to gold, I know what's going to happen. You're gonna lose it. You're gonna behave recklessly. I'm just asking you as a friend, please don't.
What do they say? What's the saying? You can't make a loss if you take the profit.
Okay, you never go broke taking a profit, I think was the one that I used to know, but it's the same principle. Yeah, quite right. You may miss the next 10% as the momentum traders. There's got to be a big short position out there for them to. I mean, when I was talking to Wayne McCurry earlier on, it was half past four. And Goldfield was up something like 14.2%. So it's rallied in the auction another 6-7%. Someone's hurting here.
Yeah, you're quite right. I think there's also quite large short positions. But over the weekend, I usually play around with, I mean, people that follow me on Twitter or some sort of social media will know that I do these weird and wonderful things where I compare different asset classes, different shares, different sectors. And I like, you know, every few months, I like looking at, you know, ETFs, you know, international. I'm not talking about your local ETFs. I'm talking about the biggest of big, the Vanguards, iShares, the biggest thematic type of ETS. And the one that actually stood out for me, and it's funny enough, it's gold again, is I've just told you the story about the dollar. I told you about the story about the actual gold price. But when you compare the gold miners, and I've taken the Van Eck, you know, gold mines, one of the biggest ETFs in the world, and they focus only on the largest gold mines in the world. And funny enough, in the top 10, Anglo Gold and Gold Fields is included in that. But be that as it may, when you look at that graph, Lindsay, it's extremely interesting to see to what extent the gold miners actually underperformed. You know, and I'm not just talking about 1 or 2%. I'm talking about, you know, 25% underperformance over the past, let's call it 5 months, and created a massive gap. And you must probably be right. I think there's quite a few, you know, maybe hedge funds out there stating, well, you know, they're not that positive on gold, and they shorted the miners and now hurting big time.
Yes, indeed. They're not the most liquid of stocks, but for goodness me, no. there was something going on today, and it took an awful lot of people by surprise. And well done as well, because sometimes, you know, you get people who sort of leak out a bit of information and do some previous buying or selling. But it doesn't matter. Just out of interest, when you send those graphs over the weekend, which I like, and those comparisons and that analysis, did you start to doing those analyses over this weekend during the Ireland versus Springboks rugby match?
It was about 3 minutes into the second half. Yes, you're right. That was where I actually started doing that.
Yeah, well, you can have a go at me after South Africa thrashes England in a couple of weeks' time, whenever it is. Let's have a look at some.
Didn't England play that over the weekend? I can't recall.
I don't remember. I was watching football. I have no idea what England did.
Don't cry for me, Argentina, in the rugby at
Twickenham. No, I can't remember. Anyway, let's have a look at some spot prices. Dollar rand is 17.75. British pound against the rand is 20.27. The euro rand is 17.85. The euro dollar, you were referring to the slight weakness in the US dollar, and it's just natural, or slight strength in the euro, should I say. It's par 56. In other words, 1 euro buys 1.0056 US dollars, and it's been below par for quite a while. So that is, I think it's quite significant. British pound against the US dollar, that was 1.1540 this morning. It's now 1.1415 as the UK lurches from one political disaster to the next. And Rishi Sunak, I don't know. I really don't know if he's going to last that long. Anyway, speaking of gold, which we have been extensively, the gold price itself in US dollar terms, 1716. The platinum price is up 35 to 1006. And palladium is down 33, perversely, to $18.97 per ounce. Let's have a look at the energy complex, continuing the commodity theme. I've got Brent crude oil down nearly 2% to $93.55. The West Texas crude, $87.40, down 1.7%. Natural gas prices, 5.4% weaker. What else have we got here? Coal prices down 2 2/3. Iron ore, though, up 2.8% to $91 per ton. The US 10-year Treasury bond yield looks like this. It's had a bit of a week, actually. It was in the 4.20s a couple of days ago. It is now 4.125. That's the yield on the 10-year. And the South African 10-year bond yield, with the stability of the rand and everything else, 10.50, 3 basis points down from yesterday, 10.50%. Bitcoin, well, I sent out a nasty tweet to somebody the other day when he said, I think it's now time to buy Bitcoin. And at the time, the price was 20,600. And I said, it's much more gratifying, or something. I said, to give your money to charity.
I saw that.
I'm
not going to mention him because I've got quite a bit of respect for him.
No, he's very good. I used to interview him a lot.
His timing was just horrible. I mean,
he's market obsessed, but I just thought it's 20,600. I said, just give it to charity. Don't throw it down the drain. And here we are, 17,708, down 9% today. So that's a nearly $3,000 per coin fall since that tweet went out. But he's a nice chap, as you quite rightly say. Yeah, everyone gets it wrong. Not me more than most. What else have we got going on here now? S&P 500 futures, with the US midterm results just filtering through, terribly important, of course. S&P 3,818, down 0.4%, Skunk. What were your movers on the JSE today? You start with the JSE movers, please.
Yeah, I'm not gonna mention gold again. I think it's
no, please do. No, just give us your list. That's important. It's only once a year you get to have your day in the sun.
yeah, for sure. Now, I've mentioned already, Anglo Gold up 10.3%, Durban Red Opportunity 9.2%, Goldfields up 21.1%, and Harmony up 8.5%. I think other movers that stood out, and it's the only real news that I found on the JSE today, is Northam's movement today, naturally down 6.1%.
Right.
I think the let's call it the big box up, is still continuing there, because
it's a triumvirate. It's a threesome between the people that are being predated, i.e. Royal Bafokeng, and you've got Northam and Impala having a go at them. So what was this all about this morning, this SENS announcement?
Yeah,
they made an offer.
So Northam came out, Yeah, we know what Impala's offers on the table. I mean, they offer is basically 0.3 Impala shares and a cash amount of 90 Rand. Now, that equals to today's prices of under 50 Rand, 60 on Royal Buffalo King. And until really recent, I mean, it was the best offer on table. And I think sort of everybody sort of expected them to just get it. We always knew that Northam is not going to take this laying it down. And today they actually came out and they made a cash offer for 172.70 Rand per share, which is basically 15% premium. And just for interest sake, when you look at Royal Buffalo King, I mean, the share price basically closed at around about the 152 Rand levels, which always told us that shareholders were sort of expecting an increase in the offer. And I think that the shareholders did not expect that, because Royal Buffalo King today is trading at 167 Rand. That's also up 10.2%. So just I think that the major winner in this case is definitely the Royal Buffalo King shareholders.
Very much so.
And we'll wait and see now, because now it's the ball's basically in Paula's hands.
Yes.
We'll see.
Yeah.
What happens there?
Yeah, on the downside, I've got Northam, as you say, 6.1% weaker. Tungela down 5.1%, Sappy down 3.4%, and Gup down nearly 3%. Give us the closing indices on the JSE, please, Skulk.
So JSE closed today at 69,640, creeping closer and closer to that 70,000 mark again. I'm going to say that then, 69,640 points. That was up 91 basis points. Naturally, the biggest winner for today in the sectors was the resources, up 2.74%, mostly driven by the gold miners, funny enough, because, I mean, you know, most of the other resource company weren't as strong, so up 2.74%. Industrials up 40 basis points, and financials just keeping its nose in the green, up 5 basis points. SA Property Index had also a much better day. I saw growth point up well over 1%. SA Property Index up 0.94%. For those that followed the top 40 closed at 63,028 points. That was also up just shy of 1%. When we look at the value trader today, I thought it was fairly finely traded before we started this conversation, but closed just below the 20 billion mark, to be exact, 19.11 billion traded on the JSE today.
Skulk, that was really good fun and very informative at the same time. Skulk Lewis is a portfolio manager at PSG Wealth Old Oak Division in Cape Town, and that was the 5 o'clock shadow. Skulk will be back with me next Wednesday. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.